on the one hand, we're increasingly seeing these type of press releases, but it's also telling on the side that, of course, it's letting us know just how much that they have moved back to having that capability, both at the ICBM level and, as you point out on the other one, of course, at the cruise missiles. I think one of the most important things that we take away from here is, of course, the manner in which the Canadian government is. This is what the Canadian government, in the recently Liberal defense policy, highlighted the fact that we have to have a better surveillance capability to respond to hostile cruise missile capabilities. And that particular threat was highlighted. I think it was page 71, 72 on the defense review.
The ICBM launch, I mean, the Russians are saying that, you know, this is a routine thing that they do every time they get a new batch of missiles just to test to make sure that its quality is okay. Is anything off there for you, or this is routine more or less?
Well, there's two levels with everything. There's always more than two or three levels when the Russians do anything. On the one level, the Russians have been very active in modernizing their nuclear deterrent. They've been doing, you know, they basically committed to modernizing their nuclear capabilities back in 2007. They told us as much. I think a lot of people at the time, of course, poo-potted and said that, they, you know, it was all talk, they're not doing it. We're seeing clear that it wasn't talk. They are modernizing the nuclear deterrent. So at that level, this is just a continuation from their 2007 modernization program that they said that they would be doing. The second part is, this is, of course, the core element of Russian security policy, is nuclear deterrence for all the nuclear powers remains the final deterrent, and that we shouldn't be surprised when we see the Russians doing it. The third part, and this is the part, of course, a little bit of speculation, but once again, I think that it, you know, past experience bears it out. I think it's telling also that the Russians are doing this at the time of heightened tension between the Americans and the Koreans, vis-a-vis the possibility of nuclear exchanges. Now, you can't turn around and do a nuclear test just because you heard Donald Trump at the General Assembly of the United Nations get up and give a speech about destroying North Korea. But, I mean, given the fact that tensions have been increasing, and this is also a very subtle signaling to the Americans, of course, of their remaining capabilities, and for the Americans, of course, to keep that at the back of their mind. But once again, you know, you have to read a little bit into the tea leaves to be able to really draw that to attention.
How concerned do you think, I don't know if you have any expertise in this, but how concerned do you think the Russians are about the American missile defense capability and what it might do in degrading their own, you know, offensive or their nuclear deterrence?
Oh, well, you don't have to speculate. They make it very, the Russians have made it clear in a succession of Russian official defense documents on this, starting at around 2011. And we see clearly that the Russians identify what they see as the core threats to Russia. The first one of the ones that have been increasingly cited is the threat that the American ABM system provides to what they call nuclear stability. We call it nuclear deterrence. And the Russians are very sensitive. They accept the American statements when they say they're doing it about North Korea, but they say the technology that you're developing ultimately can be magnified and improved upon, and that they will respond to any possibility that it will, of course, neutralize the Russian deterrent. The American response then at that point is always, well, no, don't worry, you have so many missiles, we'll never be able to provide a shield against your particular system. And by the way, you can also add China's system. But nevertheless, that the documents make it clear, the Russians are concerned that that is the long-term objective of the Americans, despite what the Americans say vis-a-vis North Korea and Iran.
In terms of just looking at the bigger picture here, what's the takeaway for you?
Well, one of the takeaways is this very, very problematic dynamic that this whole crisis with North Korea, the Russian need to have nuclear deterrent creates, because you can understand American desires to improve a system that can defend against North Korean missile launches. So you can understand the American concerns. You can understand why the Japanese and the South Koreans want to involve themselves with that. You understand on the other side, in the European side, why, of course, the NATO allies are also accepting of the American ABM system, as that decision was made a few years ago to support American ABM. The problem is that unleashes a dynamic, of course, that fundamentally challenges the core of nuclear deterrence, which has been the fundamental of international security at the great power level since 1939, basically, when the Russians get a nuclear capability. Realistically, it's about 1959 when Sputnik, of course, occurs, and we see an ICBM capability on the Russian side and then very quickly on the American side. So since 1960, deterrence has been at the fundamental. Now, a lot of people say, you know, good riddance to it. The idea of a system where we commit mutual suicide is, of course, problematic. But the dynamics of deterrence had always been that as long as we both understood, everyone understood that you were committing mutual suicide, that was understood as stopping anyone getting too dangerous in terms of activities. If you start believing that you have the ability to stop the nuclear missiles of your opponent, does that then encourage perhaps more aggressive action on whoever has that belief? And subsequently, does it also increase an increased willingness of the side that's about to lose that defensive capability to strike while they think that they can still strike? So in other words, we run into the situation that at one level, everybody understands the American and, as I said, their allies' desire to have a system of protection against the North Koreans. But on the other hand, by developing that particular system, do you then threaten deterrence? And that, I think, leaves us with one of the most fundamental big questions of international security today.